this is Scott Bessenecker, and you're listening to episode one of Voices from the Center. We're podcasting from the Overturning Tables website. I've wanted to create a space for a while that listens to the voices of people from whom we often insulate ourselves. These are voices that I think occupy a central place in society, and as a person of faith, I really believe they occupy a central place in the kingdom of God. You know, there's this ancient storyline that seems to run through all societies. It's a story of someone who is marginalized, who is on the outside, who turns out actually to be a person of central importance. Or it's a story of someone who is in the mainstream, in the spotlight, who actually turns out to be a poser, someone who's on the outside. And it's like there's something deep in our psyches of all humanity that understands that what we often call the margins are really the centers. And what we think are centers, or those things that are of primary importance, are actually quite peripheral, fringe. And so I think that invites us to consider voices from what we think are society's margins, but really are, in my mind, the center, the place that we ought to be learning from and gleaning wisdom from. So this space, this Voices from the Center podcast, is going to be looking for the next year, really, at people for whom things don't work like they work for the mainstream, like they work for me, a white, middle-class male. The world works for me. But I recognize that many of my friends do not have the same kind of operating system, and for whom there's not a fit, there's not the same kind of opportunities, not the same kind of open doors or possibilities. And these are people I've learned have a lot to give to me, have a lot to give to the rest of us, and ought to be in a place of primary importance, ought to be helping shape us, instruct us. So I wanted to give a podcast over to the voices of my friends who I believe are at the center of society, center of God's heart, center of the kingdom, but who have been marginalized. This first podcast is going to be devoted to the people that we call migrants, people who are on the move, people who are shifting from one place to another. The UN says that there are 232 million migrants, people leaving their country of birth, trying to get to another country. And since 1990, the number of people on the move has increased by 50%. People are moving out of their home country into another country for all sorts of reasons. Some are looking for a job. Some are following their career. Some are wanting to move closer to family. Some migrate because they're on the wrong side of a political or a religious regime that's in power and their lives are in danger. Some are just looking for a brighter future, more opportunities. Some trying to stay alive because there's a war going on in their country, or there's street violence that's escalating and they're being swept into it. Everyone listening has had some relative leave their country of origin for some reason or another and move to another country. We tend to think of migration as happening from the developing world to industrialized countries. But actually, 40% of migrants are being hosted in the developing world, in the countries that are still developing. There are folk moving from the north to the south, from the south to the north. It happens in a variety of ways in a variety of countries. I was in Mexico City recently and visited a migrant shelter where most of the migrants I talked to were not interested in moving to the U.S., or Canada, or Australia, or England. Don't mean to burst our bubble here, but not everyone wants to get here that is migrating. Folk I encountered were simply trying to migrate from another country in Central America to Mexico. They wanted to stay there in Mexico. A shelter I visited is called Tochan, and it's this temporary shelter to feed and clothe and provide a few basic services to migrants for just a few months. And I spoke to a young guy whose name was Emiliano.
Okay, vengo del Salvador.
I'm originally from El Salvador. When I was seven, my father was murdered. Because of that, I was raised by my mom. I have six brothers and sisters. We are seven total. And the reason why I left my originally was I was no longer able to go to school. We did not have enough money for me to go to school.
Emiliano was this really gentle, intelligent young man. He had just turned 18, but I thought he looked a lot younger. And there was this sweetness and quietness about him. Apparently, the week before I had come there, he'd given his story to a group of visitors and found it emotionally really, really difficult to talk about a situation. He couldn't finish his story. And so when I talked to him, he spoke in this fairly deadpan delivery, as if he were trying to keep his emotions at bay. Emiliano left El Salvador in part because of poverty, but there were other reasons that Emiliano felt remaining in El Salvador was a bad idea.
Also, because of the delinquency, I was completely fed up with organized crime and delinquency in my neighborhood. The police were, there was brutality. They would beat me up, and because of that, they were assuming that I was part of the maras, like the rest of the population in my neighborhood.
Other migrants there at Tochan talked about the sort of pressure they faced in the countries where they're coming from. One of the guys, Jorge, said that gangs had basically taken over the town where he was and had demanded the use of his wife and daughters at their whim. In exchange, they wouldn't kill them, and they would keep his business alive rather than ransacking his business. And that's the kind of pressure that some migrants are facing as they leave their home countries. Rule of law breaks down in various areas of our world. People need to get out in order to spare themselves or get their families into a better place. And the journeys can be treacherous. I asked Emiliano about his journey from El Salvador to Mexico. It was not nearly as bad as other migrants that we had run into there at Tochan.
Well, I came along when I was 16. I did not have a lot with me. I had a lot of fear. I was able to find some support among the friends with the people that I came at the train. I can really complain a lot about my journey. I did not have any assaults. I did not experience any violence. Also, I came with no money. One day, we were completely lost in the forest. With some of my fellow friends that I came with to Mexico. I was horrified when I saw this fresh blood. It looked like people had been murdered recently, but we were able to move on and able to arrive here to Mexico. I was originally in the state of Mexico, but I ran into some trouble. And I really wanted to become naturalized here in Mexico. That's why I came here to Mexico City.
The stories of other migrants aren't so fortunate. In 2012, 22,000 migrants into Mexico had been reported kidnapped. No telling how many went unreported. People who knowingly undertake such risks are usually both fleeing something that makes it feel worth the risk. They're dreaming also about this better future. So they're fleeing. There's these push factors pushing them out of the countries they're leaving, and pull factors, the visions and dreams and hopes that they have. So I asked Emiliano about his dreams as he tries to migrate to Mexico.
One of my biggest dreams is to become a rapper. I want to be able to talk about the reality of immigrants and their journey. That is my biggest dream, to become a rapper.
So I asked Emiliano to perform a spoken word for me. Something's lost in the translation of it. The translator is a bit more paced and not as in tone. I think even in just the translation, you get this picture of Emiliano's passion. You hear something of his passion. You hear something of his concern for his mother and his longing to engage a world that doesn't seem ready or willing to engage him. Take a listen.
Aún sigo pensando en mi futuro, si un día tendré algo seguro, si por lo que dejé mi familia cumplido o solo es un sueño el que he vivido, también he sufrido como compañeros migrantes.
Let me tell you, we don't dress nice. Sometimes we don't even have money for our pockets. We wish it was easier for us, but it's not easy, and we need to fight. Our country, they wanted to defeat us, but let me tell you, they never will. I'm sorry if I sound aggressive, but I'm singing because I'm alive. My mother lost me when I was 16 to become a singer in Monterrey. I know I'm gonna make it, no matter what it is, no matter who it is, I'm gonna make it. And this is how I survive. I left my country without money, without nothing. I was told I was never good enough to sing in this era, but I will. I was offended by people for not having papers. They didn't care about me or my feelings or my family. But I've never give up. I know my dreams are not in vain. One day, I fantasized to have a house for my mom. Mom, I ask you to stop crying. This is fine. This is okay. I know being away from you is killing you. But I know this is worth it. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. I promise you, you'll be proud of me one day. All I'm asking you is to believe in me.
Corporations are interesting entities. Pretty early on, the legal community decided that corporations could have the rights of an individual. And so there's a sense in which corporations have become personified, like they're a kind of person, a kind of entity. And so I thought it'd be interesting to ask Emiliano to talk to the personified corporation. And it was as if he knew instinctively that the corporation, the corporate entity had power. Like had power to open opportunities or shut down opportunities, power to create boundaries and borders or power to erase them. And I thought his interaction with this personified vision of a corporation or the corporation was just an interesting cry out to the power that exists within a corporate entity.
If all of the owners and bosses of big companies will be here together in one room, I will talk about the lack of support that we have as immigrants. We have the right to live in a decent life. Due to certain circumstances, we have left behind to suffer, and we shouldn't have to be able to do that. I was said, we need more support. For example, I still don't have documents. I've been here for a year, trying to get documents, and I still don't been able to achieve that. A lot of us have big dreams, dreams that we want to accomplish. No matter what land it is, we shouldn't have to be facing borders in order to accomplish our dreams.
There's a reason I wanted this podcast, the pilot podcast for Voices from the Center, to take place on Monday of Holy Week, 2015. You know, Holy Week is inaugurated by Jesus entering the temple courts and turning over the tables. He's clearing space for those on the margins, I believe. The temple was this place. It was the first century version of Wall Street where the high priestly families and those of influence and power were thoroughly invested. They were making a killing in the marketplace that had occupied the temple courts. Jesus comes and upsets the tables, clears that space, and Matthew says that the blind and the lame came to him and he healed them. There's something about Jesus moving out those who have occupied the space and the focus and the spotlight and bring in those who have been on the margins. You know, Emiliano's story reminds me of another young kid who was forced out of his town because of gang violence, left the country, sought asylum in another spot, another country. Jesus' family, it says in Scripture, was forced out of Bethlehem because of Herod's gangs of violence that were coming through. Jesus knows what it's like to be on the margins, to be an asylum seeker, to be fleeing violence. I think we have stuff to learn from Emiliano. I think there's something about God's choice in putting himself in that position that ought to give us pause. It ought to help us to think about what it is that we have to learn from the margins, because those are the places that God dwells. They're really the centers. Emiliano occupies the center. And those who are fleeing violence in their countries or poverty in their countries are people who have voices that I think we need to guide us, to inform us, to instruct us. There's stuff you may have learned, stuff you may question, stuff you may disagree with in Emiliano's story or this podcast. I welcome comments. I welcome reflections in the comments section. I invite you to help me in curating a discussion about these voices and what we have to learn from them, or what we don't like about them, what we think may be off. And so come into the discussion. Let's talk about these voices from the center that are being podcast here. Tune in next week when we're going to listen to another voice from the center that I think you'll enjoy listening to and gain something from. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Emiliano for sharing his story. Thank you to Galena, who did the original translation on site when I interviewed Emiliano. And then my friend Adrian, who took Emiliano's words and translated them into English for us. And for my son, Philip Besnecker, who did the sound producing and editing for this podcast. Until next time.